On this day in 1963, the March on Washington took center stage. American political leaders were caught between powerful segregationists and civil rights activists and their political allies. In the last of a four-part series, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams takes us to an afternoon that influenced the course of history.
Racial tensions were rising into violence across the nation. Big cities in the North were fearful of riots. Martin Luther King Jr. had been jailed in Birmingham, Alabama. NAACP leader Medgar Evers had been assassinated in Mississippi. Civil rights workers were going into small towns, risking brutality and jail to shine a light on violence that oppressed black people. The White House and the Congress feared that the march would degenerate into an angry, violent mob. Labor leader A. Philip Randolph addressed that fear. He was followed by Walter Reuther, the head of the United Auto Workers, Roy Wilkins, leader of the NAACP, and others. Randolph began in his famously dignified style.
Fellow Americans, let the nation and the world know the meaning of our numbers. We are not a pressure group. We are not an organization or a group of organizations. We are not a mob. We are the advance guard of a massive moral revolution for jobs and freedom. Fellow Americans, I now have the opportunity and pleasure to present to you Walter Reuther.
And let us keep in mind, since we are the strongest of the free nations of the world, accepting as we make freedom universal so all may enjoy its blessings, let us understand that we cannot defend freedom in Berlin so long as we deny freedom in Birmingham.
We will now listen to Mr. Roy Wilkins.
Now, we expect the passage of an effective civil rights bill. We commend those Republicans in both houses who are working for it. We salute those Democrats in both houses who are working for it. We even salute those from the South who want to vote for it but don't dare to do so. And we say to those people, just give us a little time, and one of these days, we'll emancipate you.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation, a great dedicated man, a philosopher of a nonviolent system of behavior, in seeking to bring about social change for the advancement of justice and freedom and human dignity. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time.
March ended with Randolph reading off a list of demands. not only for ending what he called the humiliation and the agony of the soul caused by discrimination against black people at restaurants and hotels, but for fair housing and, most of all, for jobs. As the crowd left, the 74-year-old Randolph stood alone at the dais. He began to cry. Bayard Rustin, his fellow activist, went to him, and Randolph said it was the most glorious day of his life. It was the most glorious day in many lives. The idealism of the March on Washington continues to shine, a beacon of hope 40 years later. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.
Photos from the march and highlights of the day's speeches are at npr.org.
Then I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. And oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know